Tim Fortner sent me this picture a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted you to see it. Notice the roots spell Christ. And I've been challenging you all this year to plant your roots deep into Jesus or into God the Father. And as we do that, we'll be able to withstand the storms of life. And those storms will come. They are showing up quite regularly, but there's no need to fear. Our faith is in Him, and He will help us through the storms. Today, I want to challenge you to plant your roots deep into God's promises. I have a second picture that I want you to see. This fellow is climbing a rope. Actually, that's a little different picture than what I was thinking, but this is a really good one, too. It's even a better picture. Mallory, thank you for finding that. As I had a picture for her, but I really didn't like it. And I said, if you can find a better one, go for it. And good job. A mountain climber is going to be climbing this rope, but you see, somebody has gone before him. Somebody's already gone up the mountain, and they've left a rope in their path, and there's knots in the rope, and it's going to help that person who's coming after them get up that same mountain. The rope's helpful, but those knots in the rope will be very helpful as well. I'd like for you to picture in your mind climbing the mountain called life. It's a pretty steep climb. It's very hard at times and challenging. It's comforting to know that Jesus has already ascended the mountain ahead of us, and He has left a rope for us to grab hold of as we come after Him. And that rope has knots tied in it. And as we grab hold of that rope, it's very secure and it's anchored. And the knots are the promises which help us along the way. If we can hang on to His promises, we will have a much better chance of getting to the top of the mountain, which we are calling life. And ultimately, it's going to help us get to our final destination of heaven. One thing we know for sure, His promises are true. They will never fail. Simply because His Word will not fail. To begin with, I want to consider some of the promises that are a part of the Christmas story. And I want you to see how God has kept every one of His promises. The first promise that I want to point out to you goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Now, it's very important that we know who's talking in this passage of Scripture and who's being talked to. And if you look back at this particular Scripture, you'll quickly see God is the one who is talking, and He is talking to the devil. And this is what He says. "Satan, a seed's going to come forth from the woman, and you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head." And you say, what in the world is he talking about there? Well, let's think about what's happened. Satan has just shown up on the scene. He has led Adam and Eve down that destructive road of sin. They have eaten of the forbidden fruit. And that's when God shows up. And before he addresses Adam and Eve, he first addresses the devil. And he brings a curse on the devil because of what he's done. Satan has led mankind away from his Creator. He's led him into sin. And God says there is going to be a seed come from the woman. There's going to be a descendant from the woman, and that descendant will be Jesus. He will bruise you on the head. You'll bruise him on the heel. Have you ever had a heel bruise? It hurts, doesn't it? And Satan would hurt Jesus severely through the cross. It would be an excruciating death, but he would overcome it in 3 days. It would only be a heel bruise. Jesus, though, would give to Satan a crushing blow to the head. It would be a fatal blow, one that he would never recover from. For all of eternity, Satan will pay the price for what he did in the garden and what he has done ever since. And basically, what we see happening is God ties a knot in the rope. And if we will hang on to our Savior, Jesus, we will win in the end. I want you to see from these promises that I'm pointing out to you, God keeps His promises. Let me give to you a second promise found in Genesis chapter 12. Abram was promised a son, and through that seed, a Savior would come who would bless the entire world. I was going to read this whole passage of Scripture to you, but I'd like Stacy simply to put it on the screen behind me and just give them time to read that. There's three verses there from Genesis chapter 12 that I want you to read as I'm talking to you. And through this passage, I'm seeing another knot being tied in the rope. The promise of Abram's seed blessing the whole world, and the promise was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. According to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, Jesus was indeed the seed of Abraham through Mary and through his adopted father, Joseph. Both Mary and Joseph were descendants of Abraham. And Jesus, the seed, he's still blessing the whole world. He's blessed you and he's blessed me. He's blessed Jews and Gentiles alike. His arms are open to anyone who turns to him. The promise is Abram's seed would bless the whole world, and it's still happening today. God keeps his promises. I'll give you another promise that was made about the coming Savior. He would come through a virgin. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. It had never happened before, and it would never happen again, but it did happen that one time. A virgin would give birth to a child, and that child would be the Son of God coming to this earth and taking on flesh so that he could become the Savior of the entire world. Did this happen? It most certainly did happen. According to Luke's gospel, according to Matthew's gospel, it did happen. You remember the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a baby, and her response was, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That was the angel's interaction with Mary. Do you remember the angel's interaction with Joseph? Joseph was betrothed to Mary. In other words, he was engaged to her to be married. And then he finds out she's pregnant. And what was Joseph going to do? He was going to put her away. He was going to just lay her aside. He could have insisted that she be stoned according to the Old Testament scriptures. But instead, Joseph was just going to put her away quietly. He knew the baby wasn't his. And the angel appears to him and assures him that the baby is not from another man. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. This is what the angel had to say to Joseph. Now the birth of the Lord Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Another knot was tied in the rope, and that promise was fulfilled. And by the way, Isaiah's prophecy of a virgin giving birth to a son was given more than 700 years before it actually happened. Think about that. You and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And in reality, we really don't even know what's going to happen on our way home today. And this came to my attention even yesterday. I was at the ER in Fort Scott with Bob and Joanne Hirons. And Joanne, I heard her say these words almost verbatim. We got up this morning, she said, and everything was fine. Everything was going well. And then all of a sudden, the bottom dropped out of things. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but God does. And God said through Isaiah the prophet, there's going to be a virgin who will give birth to a child. And that sounds outlandish. It had never happened before. It hasn't ever happened since. And it did happen 700 years after the prophecy was given. He is a God that is in control of all things. And now it may seem like at times that things are out of control, but rest assured, God has everything, including us, in the palm of His hand. I've got one other promise or prophecy that I want to show you, and then I will make some points of application. And again, rather than reading this, I'll have Stacy just put this passage on the screen, and you read it as I talk to you. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Another knot was tied in the rope. This passage of Scripture is speaking of the Messiah. He would be born in Bethlehem, a very small and insignificant town. Now, who would think that the Messiah of the world, the King of the universe, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem? This was a no-name place. This was a Nowheresville kind of place. And yet, God, 500 years prior to the event, said, this is where the Messiah will be born. And 500 years later, it's exactly His birthplace. A another knot was tied in the rope. I want you to know God keeps his promises. And that's the first point of application. Simply this, God's promises are true. You know, as we think back of these four prophecies, and there's many more that we could have looked at about his first coming, every one of them came to pass. His word did not fail. It will not fail. As he makes promises to you and I today, his word will not fail. Every one of his promises are true. The scripture cannot be broken. Whatever God says is going to happen, that's what will happen. Now, sometimes we may doubt his word simply because we are accustomed to doubting other people's words to us. We've been lied to how many times? By politicians, by businessmen, by advertisers. We could just go on and on with the list of people who have lied to us, and we become accustomed to that. We become programmed to thinking that, you know, can I really trust what this person is saying? I want you to know you can trust absolutely every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's never broken a promise. He can't break a promise. It's not in his nature to break a promise. It's not in his character. He just can't do it. He cannot lie to us. Numbers 23, verse 19 from the New Living Translation says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? The answer is no. He cannot lie. He just can't. And so I want to encourage you to trust his promises. Become familiar with those promises and trust them to be true. If he says he will never abandon you, brother and sister, you can count on that to be true. He will not leave you alone. Ever. Never will he abandon you. If he says he will meet your every need, you can count on that to be true. Now, there is a difference between your needs and your wants, aren't there? My need to have a brand new car may not be a need at all. It may be a want. And he doesn't promise to meet my every want, but he does promise to meet my every need. And he has that same promise for you too. But keep in mind, there are sometimes conditions that are attached to the promises, such as the case with Matthew 6, 33, where it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things are being talked about? If you look at the context, he's talking about food and drink and clothing. He will provide those things for you if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He will not break that promise. But you and I need to make sure that we keep the condition that is attached to the promise. If he says that he will make our paths straight, you can count on that to be true. He will fulfill that promise. But keep in mind, there is a condition to that promise. My very favorite passage in all of Scripture is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Notice the condition that is attached to the promise. You want your paths to be made straight? In other words, do you want things to be made right for you? Then trust Him with all of your heart. That's the condition that is attached to the promise. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and lean not on your own understanding, and then He will make your paths straight. There are oftentimes conditions that are attached to the promises. And we like to grab hold of those promises, don't we? But sometimes we forget about the condition. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is a passage that many of us are familiar with, and we go to that passage quite often, and we really like what God says He will do for us. That He will hear our prayer. That He will forgive our sins. And He will heal our land. I like that. I like the sound of that. I want God to do that. But I can't forget the condition that is attached to the promise, and neither can you. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear their prayer and forgive their sin and heal their land. Oftentimes, these promises that we hang on to, the knots in the rope, they have conditions that we have to give attention to. I love the promise found in Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good news. No condemnation. I like that. But notice there is a condition that is attached to the promise. This is a promise for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you want Him to keep His promise, which He is glad to do and will do, then you need to give attention to your part of the agreement. You need to be in Christ. You need to have Him as your Lord and Savior. You see, all of these promises are knots that are tied in the rope that will help us ascend the mountain of life. We need to grab a hold of the promises. And if there is a condition with the promise, we need to give attention to the condition. Because you can be guaranteed He's going to keep His end of the bargain, so to speak. So, His promises are true. The second point of application that I want to give to you, as we've looked at these promises that are involving the Christmas story, the second point of application is simply this: sometimes God's ways are hard to figure out. Let that sink in for a moment. Sometimes God's ways are hard to figure out. You do realize Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old when she finally conceived and gave birth to the child of promise. Now that's a little hard to understand. God's ways sometimes are hard to understand. And I'm sure that it was hard for Abraham and Sarah to understand that. They had been waiting for a child for all of these years. And at the age of 70, Abraham had the angel of the Lord appear to him and say, "Hey, Abraham, I know you've been wanting a child. I know you've been asking for a child. I'm going to give it to you." 30 years later, finally, the child arrives. Now, that's just hard to figure out. And yet, you want to know how strong Abraham's faith was? Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Read that. I think this passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 4, Stacy, if you go ahead and put that on the screen, I think it's one of the greatest passages of Scripture in all of the Bible about faith. Looking back, Paul's looking back. He's the one who wrote this. He says Abraham's body was as good as dead in regards to father and a child. Well, I imagine so at 100 years old. And it says Sarah's womb was dead. And I imagine that to be true too. And yet, the text says Abraham did not waver in unbelief. He grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. No wonder they called him the father of our faith. Though the conditions were screaming, no, Abraham put his faith in a God whom he knew had never once broken a promise, and he believed that what he had said he would do, he would do. In spite of the obstacles. The Virgin Mary was the same way. She had that same kind of faith. How can this be? She said to the angel. I mean, you know, it takes a man and it takes a woman. You remember what the angel said to her? For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen? Nothing will be impossible with God. And then Mary's response: Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. Brothers and sisters, that is faith. She accepted the word of the Lord to be true, though every fiber of her being was saying, this can't be. This is quite a challenge for us to accept God's promises to be true, though sometimes we can't explain how he's going to do what he's said he's going to do. I mean, we like to have things figured out, don't we? We like to have things, our ducks in a row. We like to look at things and say, yeah, 2 plus 2 equals 4, and 3 plus 3 equals 6, and we like to have it all figured out. And God says sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, you won't have a clue. You just trust me. And we say, how in the world, God, are you going to possibly work good from this bad situation? God, how in the world are you going to provide for me when the numbers just don't add up? And you're telling me to give a tithe off of the top when I'm struggling to pay the bills now? It doesn't make sense. And God is saying, trust me. Just trust me. I've got you in the palm of my hand. I can do this. If I can part the waters of the Red Sea, if I can bring water from the rock, if I can feed 5,000 men with a small boy's lunch, if I can command the wind and the waves to stop blowing and the storm to stop, then surely I can take care of you. You may not have it all figured out. You may not be able to see how it's all going to work, but I want you to just trust me, because I want you to know the truth of this. Nothing will be impossible with me. But God, I just want to see it. Trust me. Trust me, he says. We so much want to be able to figure out what God is doing and to see it ahead and how he's going to work it. But I want you to know God is so much bigger than we are. We cannot put God in a box and say, you have to work within the limits of my understanding, God. No. God's much bigger than our understanding. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much greater than our ways. Just accept his word to be true. Grab hold of the knots in the rope, his promises, and the climb up the mountain of life will be so much easier. And you know what? It will be so exciting too, to see God working the impossible in you and through you, and sometimes in spite of you. I have one more point of application, and it's not getting any easier. God's timing is always right. Would you say that with me? God's timing is always right. I'm sure Abraham and Sarah had some questions about God's timing. In fact, Sarah laughed. You remember, I'm not sure if it was a laugh of doubt or a laugh of, you've got to be kidding me. Can you imagine the neighbors' reactions to the news of 90-year-old Sarah's pregnancy? I'm thinking the guys are giving high fives to Abraham. Oh, wow, Abraham, you did it, buddy. But you know what the women were doing? I mean, they were aghast at the thought of a 90-year-old woman giving birth to a baby. But we have to believe that God's timing was right. And it was. It happened according to his time scale rather than according to their time scale. The prophets along the way were not understanding God's timing. They were making the prophecies that God was inspiring them to make, but they were baffled as to when all of this was going to take place. I mean, Isaiah prophesies about a virgin giving birth to a child. Micah prophesies about this baby, this Savior, being born in Bethlehem. Neither of those prophets had any idea when this was going to happen. They're simply speaking the words that God has told them to speak. Let me read to you what Peter wrote about this. This is a great passage of Scripture, and I really like how the New Living Translation puts it. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Isn't that intriguing? Even the angels didn't know. And I'm picturing the angels in heaven. They're looking over the edge. They're watching down here on earth, and they're seeing what's happening, and they're going, oh, can you believe this? Jesus, the Son of God, he's left heaven and he's gone down there and he's become a baby. They were unknowing of God's timing. And yet, God's timing was perfect. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the time was right, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law." God's timing is always right. And then we have questions like this. Why doesn't God bring His healing now? I don't know, but His timing is right. His timing is different than ours. Why doesn't God answer my prayer right now? I don't know, but His timing is right. We have to believe that. My son is going through a lot of hardship right now, and I've been praying that God would just make things right for him, work it out for him. I'd like for you to do it right now, God. Would you do that? And God's been saying, no, it's my timing's different than yours, Kevin. Just trust me. Trust me. We can't see the big picture, but God can. We have to trust Him in His timing. You've heard this. God is never late. He's seldom early. He's always right on time. Let those words sink in. He's never late, but He's seldom early. And He's always right on time. I have to tell you of my personal experience with this truth, and then I'll be finished. When I lost my job in Fort Scott, the church leaders there were gracious to me in that they gave me 90 days of severance pay. My last Sunday of preaching there was April 2nd, 2017. And the severance pay was very beneficial to me. It eased my stress of how we were going to make ends meet. The weeks went by. 1 month passed and then two. And you put yourself in my shoes, you would know how I was I was beginning to think about, you know, what did God have in mind for me? What was His plan for me? And through a series of events, the church leaders here at Reinhardt were given my name. And Tim Fortner called me on the phone. And we talked quite a while on the phone, and that phone call led then to me coming over here to Tim's house. And I met on an afternoon with Tim and Everett Fortner, and we talked for a couple of hours probably. And the process of interviewing had begun, though I wasn't even knowing that was going to happen. And I was given three or four pages at least, maybe five or six pages of questions to answer. And then I was invited to preach a sermon here for the people to meet me. And over that process of time, a date was decided as to when I would start as the new senior minister here at Reinhardt, July 2nd, exactly 90 days from when I had been given a severance pay. The day my severance pay ran out was the first day that I started here, and Gary Johnson, the treasurer, graced me with a check that day. I wasn't even expecting that. And I'm like, God, wow. And he's saying, I've got you. I've always had you, and I always will have you. Trust me. He's never late. He's seldom early. He's always right on time. And God's promises are the knots in the rope. And the rope is ascending to heaven. And God's saying, grab hold of the knots. Grab hold of my promises. My son has been this way already. And he wants to help you all the way to heaven. Let's pray together.